Serbo-Slavic for schools. Good morning, schools. And the same to you. This is the last of our current series where we've been teaching you holiday Serbo-Slavic to help you deal with the everyday problems you'll encounter on holiday. You'll remember some of the previous lessons at the aeroplane disaster, at the appalling motorway pile-up, and fun at the lift failure. This week, we want to end the series of petty problems abroad, which started with Heidi at the shipping tragedy.
Im Klanker Ranken.
At the casualty department, continued through...
Warte mit zum Tester.
I want to make a last will and testament, and ended with...
Ah, Superleiter!
Ah, all right, officer, I'll confess. This week, im Stiftseiter, at the undertakers. Heidi has been sent away to the sanatorium to have some pieces removed, and Horst has been ejected from his hotel for trying to use a Barclay card. He continues on his way, but runs into a little trouble.
Snapper man!
Good morning, woman in black.
Lupkov.
Good morning, pig tourist.
Au, putty primsk.
I have a little problem.
What?
What?
Miss Ziegler Kranken.
My granny has just died. Don't forget to repeat after Horst.
Miss Ziegler Kranken.
My granny has just died.
Im Krinken Haldeman.
We've got her on the roof rack. A useful phrase, that.
Zim Krinken Haldeman.
We've got them both on the roof rack.
Mit blinds in Krinken Haldeman.
There are two on the roof rack and one in the boot. Well, before we finish, let's just have a little vocab test with some of the useful words you have been learning in Serbo-Slavic. We'll give you the English. You just say the translation. Ready? And the same to you. Crematorium. Bloodstains. Machine pistol. Secret police. Thumbscrew. Confession. 35 years imprisonment. British consul, shot while trying to escape. Good. Well, that's all from us. So if you're going on holiday in Serbo-Slovakia, do take care. And as the Serbo-Slavs say...
Nixon.
Good luck.
Will you get the sig tune on at the correct speed? Put the sig tune on properly, you've messed it up again. Oh dear, where do they get them from?
I'm sorry about that. You're listening to Radio 5. Incidentally, I'm sorry the sig tune was on at the wrong speed. The thing is, they're so damn incompetent here, you can rely on them to cook up most things, you know, give them half a chance. Anyway,
I don't know. Makes him so good. Ain't got pinball. That's where someone's life is. Sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Radio 5.
No, it's not. It's the Who.
No, I mean the show is Radio 5.
Oh, yeah. Terrible, isn't it?
It's not that bad. The listener liked it.
The listener? Rubbish, mate.
It's not. It's very highly respected.
Intellectual rubbish.
It's not.
Well-known rubbish. No wonder they liked it. But what record you got next thing?
Ed Welsh and then Stephen Stills.
Oh, terrible. Get them off.
What, now?
No, no, get the records off.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
If you're gonna save my life, now is the time to save my life. It's out of control, you know, and it's all down to you now. If you're gonna save my love, now is the time to save my love. You'll have to be sure, you know, and it's all down to you now. You must have felt something strong. You wouldn't have stayed so long. You wouldn't have smiled my sorrows away. You must have felt something good. You know how my heart you would. I still wanna try my luck, and it's all down to you now. If you're gone, stand by me, now is the time to stand by me. You know that I love you, love, and it's all down to you now. You must have felt something strong. You wouldn't have stayed so long. You wouldn't have smiled my sorrows away.
Thank you. hear my woman, she is calling me again. If she needs me, I got to go, she's my best friend. Cause I promised her I remember what I said. I said, if you get lonely, all you gotta do is call me and I'll come on the run wherever you are. No matter how far. Most of this life is such a hard road to go down, go down. Count your blessings on the good friends you got hanging around. It takes two to be friends, it takes two to be lovers. You know you got it made when you got ones the same as the other. Then you say, if you get along, all you gotta do is call me and I'll come on around wherever you are, no matter how far.
Mrs. Betty Hargreaves of 32 Wirral Buildings, Gloucester, is to all intents and purposes a perfectly ordinary housewife. And so let's not bother ourselves with her, but turn instead to look at her neighbour, a Mrs. Elsie Martinez. Her husband is a French plumber, and whilst he's away French plumbing, Mrs. Martinez has turned for solace to the piano. Practically illiterate musically, she has found that her early training as a spirit medium has enabled her to get in contact with some of the dead greats of music, who have then dictated to her their newest compositions from the other side of the grave.
Well, it first happened when I was sitting at the piano doodling, and suddenly I had a flash and I thought, wow, Beethoven! But it wasn't, it was only Brahms. Of course, I never recognised him at first, and I naturally presumed he was just someone far up the street come to borrow a cup of sugar. They're foreign. Well, as it turned out, he hadn't. He was after much more important things. Tea bags. As luck would have it, I was fresh out of tea bags, so I sent him down the co-op.
The lady of the co-op thought she remembered something.
Oh, yeah. An old man with a beard. Wanted German tea bags. Kept having a piece of music.
Did it go like this?
No, it was a Cliff Richard number. Bachelor boy, I think it was.
Son, you are a bachelor boy. That's the way to stay. Son, you be your bachelor boy until your dying day.
Yeah, that was it. Smashing number. Much better than Brahms.
Denied of tea bags, Brahms returned to Mrs. Martinez's living room and started to play with her at the piano.
Well, at first I was shocked, you know. But then he said he was a great composer and I thought, well, being artistic, he could take liberties. You know, it's not like a lodger, is it? Who's actually giving you money for it, you know, and they treat you like part of the fixtures and fittings, which is why, in my case, we got rid of Norn, because after all, I do have my feelings.
Getting back to Brahms.
Oh, yes. Well, he was a proper gentleman, and clean as you could want.
When did he start dictating music to you?
Usually after tea.
No, I meant... Never mind.
I'd sit at the piano, and suddenly out would come this magnificent music, way beyond my abilities.
Could we hear something?
Certainly. He called this his Scherzo in A.
Brahms.
Yes, good, isn't it? Much better than Mrs. Pulteney's Chopin. Listen, if I open the window, you can probably hear her. At it all hours of the night with that Polish gentleman. There! Yeah, horrible, isn't it? Childish!
Excuse me, I think I'm in the wrong house. Hello?
Yes?
It's me. I'm from the BBC Music Department.
Bloody rubbish. Wouldn't touch them with an asparagus.
We're doing a documentary on spirit music for the BBC.
Oh, Oh, I thought you said the co-op. Hang on. Let him in, Frederick. There, that's another piece finished. What shall I call it?
Opus 379 in E-flat K143.
Thank you, Frederick. See you on Tuesday as usual.
Okay, baby.
I'll get you some rock cakes.
I'll try and get away early, but they keep us pretty busy up there, praising him all day, sweetie.
Lucky you aren't down below, you naughty man. I read your life in the Reader's Digest.
Fat chance. There's a waiting list to get in down there. Anyway, I must go. I'll be late for the praising. Bye, dear.
Bye, Frederick. Such a nice little pole. Now, what can I do for you, dear?
Mrs. Pulteney, when did Frédéric Chopin, 1810 to 1849, Polish composer of French peasant stock, born in Zelazowa Wola near Warsaw, first start visiting you?
Well, it was after he'd been to the co-op. They said they couldn't be bothered taking down new works of music. They were only there to flog groceries. So he put an ad in the tobacconist's window, and being a medium with own piano, I answered and I got the job.
Certainly the standard of music seems much better than Mrs. Martinez and Brahms.
Oh, I think he's on drugs. Rubbish he's writing. Now, Mrs. Rabinowitz, well, she's got that nice Beethoven as a spiritual lodger. Ever such a kind gentleman, but deaf as a post. Anyway, since he's been staying at Chez Ethel, he's completed 3 new symphonies, bless him. Mind you, she keeps him at it. You have to with composers. Their hands do wander being artistic. I mean, Mrs. Fletcher says she has tremendous trouble keeping Tchaikovsky's hands off Mr. Fletcher. But you can forgive them because they have the artistic temperament and they do write such clever tunes.
Oh, be Mozart! Be quiet on the knees! What's wrong with myself? Wait! Sergeant!
Sorry about that. He's so busy, that little Mozart. And he's dictating a new choral mass to my Vera, and he has to get it finished by Tuesday because Andre Previn's coming to tea.
Andre Previn?
Did I say Andre Previn? I meant Leonard Bernstein. No, Andre wouldn't show his face round here again. Not the way he played Mrs. Ryan's new Sibelius suite. Sibby was furious. There was a heck of a row, and it ended up by Sibby accusing Andre of being pig-ignorant about music. Luckily, Mrs. Thompson's greed came in just in time to prevent a fight. Oh, there were rock cakes everywhere, what with them all having the artistic temperament. Would you like to hear my latest piece?
What is it?
It's a new Elvis Presley.
But he's not dead.
No, but he hasn't been at all well. Thank you. Anyway, he suddenly appeared in this gold lamé suit, rather tubby he's getting, he needs a woman's touch, and started shaking it all over the living room carpet and thoroughly offending Bella Bartok, who was here with Mrs. Beach. Anyway, it goes something like this.
And you know when all your dreams when all your dreams of a lifetime must all come to an end. Yeah, that's when the heartaches begin. Oh, you see, love is a thing that you never can share. And you know, when you bring a friend into your love affair, that's the end of your sweetheart, that's the end of when your heart is begin.
Thank you, Mrs. Poultney's Presley. Intrigued by this whole new world of spiritual messages, I went to visit Mrs. Betty Figgis of Dumbleton Villas, Putney. She's been contacted by an even more powerful spirit contact, the late Mr. Bert Figgis, her recently passed over husband. And so far, he has dictated to her some startling new compositions, including an entire week's grocery list, thorough instructions on how to take a shortcut on the B1201 when visiting his auntie in Jarrow, and a letter to the secretary of the local Pigeon Fanciers Club asking them to cancel his subscription due to his being dead. A man in Doncaster has claimed to be in touch with the man who wrote Jimmy Tarbuck's material. This man has been dead for centuries, and yet, through the medium of Mr. Ron Hooker, he has been able to send Jim an entirely new old joke. And Mrs. Sutcliffe has been playing cricket for Essex in the spiritual guise of W.G. Grace, and recently scored a very fine century against the tourists before being accidentally woken in the gully. In fact, this whole subject is far too serious to be poo-pooed by this sort of facetious coverage it's getting at the moment. And indeed, at this very moment, important people at the BBC are getting in touch with the people who make this programme to see that this sort of thing rapidly comes to an end and is replaced by a gramophone record. Yes?
HM Detail Sound Rad here, Trumpshaw. I'm the 2IQ of the 2nd IC, head of the entire DEP. I forget what it means, but it is very important.
Oh, yes, sir.
Look, stop this rubbish, and let's have a little of the old Beatles.
Told you.
Been away so long, I hardly knew the place. Gee, it's good to be back home. Blackbird, Good evening and welcome to Controversy. Tonight, in the studio, the Right Honourable Mr. Ian Davidson.
Good evening.
In the bathroom, the Right Honourable Mr. Anthony Carteret.
Good evening.
In the kitchen, the Right Honourable Sir Geoffrey Wigg.
Hello.
And in bed, the Right Honourable Jeff Grigg.
Hello.
And later on, we'll be asking the last three what they think they're doing. But first, let's turn to the man in the studio who is animal with mineral connections, an owner.
Can you eat him?
No, I don't think so.
Does he smell?
A little.
He's a politician.
Yes, he is. You've had three.
Sir Arthur Greenblatt.
That's much too good, I'm afraid, on that one. That's one to the team. Sir Arthur Greenblatt, chairman of the Hello Rhodesia Club, founder member of the Thursday Morning Club, parliamentarian and loony, good evening and welcome.
Hello.
And to put the case against him for the opposition, we have someone who is vegetable with animal connections.
Can you eat him?
No.
Would I have one in my bathroom?
Up to you, Anona.
It's Reginald Puma.
Yes, how did you know?
I've got one in my bathroom.
Well, you've done it again. Reginald Puma, author, MP and broadcaster. Hello and welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And tonight, we're going to ask Sir Arthur and Reginald what they had for breakfast. But before we do that, let's meet our third member of the panel this evening, who is a man who has had no breakfast. Good evening.
Well, you can call it a good evening, but I've had no breakfast.
Ron. Can I call you Ron?
Yes, my name's David, but you can call me Ron.
Oh, sorry. David.
No, call me Ron. Everybody calls me Ron. Nobody calls me David.
All right. Ron.
Silly, isn't it, being called Ron when you're really a David? Still, everybody does call me Ron. Nobody ever calls me David, so there it
Ron,
is.
Ron, about your breakfast.
Oh, yeah, I've had no breakfast. No breakfast whatsoever. I've had no form of breakfast. Not a morsel of breakfast has passed my lips. I am totally innocent of breakfasting.
When did you have no breakfast?
Well, Robin, I first had no breakfast yesterday. Then your researcher came and asked me if I'd be on the programme, so I've had no breakfast today
either. If you had your life over again, would you change anything?
Oh, yeah, I'd have breakfast. None of this no breakfast lark. I'd soon lose this no breakfasting business. I'm fed up to the teeth with this non-consumption of the absent breakfast. I'm sick to death of not having none. This is the last time I have no breakfast mush.
Pretty powerful views there, but views which are steadily arousing the opposition of large groups of people in this strange little country. I spoke to the founder member of the British League Against Breakfasts and asked him why he was so against breakfast. Unfortunately, he wouldn't tell me. But it's not only dangerous loonies who are against breakfast. The Liberal Party, too, has come out very strongly against breakfast, whilst emphasising the importance of elevenses.
Can you eat it?
Shut up. Cliff Richard and Billy Graham are another pair who have testified strongly against breakfast, at least before marriage. And amongst celebrities, Mireille Mathieu is an ardent anti-breakfasteer. Indeed, she is the patron of the French Academy des Amis contre les Petits Déjeuners, the French equivalent of BBC Two. And on BBC Two tonight, you'll be able to see the first of a new series of programmes in which Mireille Mathieu refuses breakfast. But right now it's time for our next object, which is mineral with vegetable connections.
And the next object is R. Zimmerman. R. Zimmerman.
Can you eat it?
Do not fear.
Bring that bottle over here. I'll be your baby
Holiday 74, introduced by Notcliffe Mitchellmore. Hello, I'm Notcliffe Mitchellmore. Although I have met him, of course, though perhaps he won't remember me. Probably not, because, you know, it's just a sort of casual acquaintance. In fact, we weren't really even introduced. Actually, it was in a lift at the BBC, and he was coming up, and I was going down, and he sort of nodded at me. I don't really think he'll remember me. Anyway, heck, this is all very much by the by, because I'm here to help you decide where to go for your holidays this year. Well, you can't beat Wales, but you can at least avoid it, and Yugoslavia is a really nice long way away from it. England is quite nice for a holiday, but too expensive for most of us, although many English people are now taking their holidays working in factories. Even if you eat, you can still finish a factory fortnight with some money in your pocket, but you'll have to hang on to most of it for tax. For many people, the closest they'll ever come to a holiday in Germany was as a prisoner of war. Germany is, in fact, now prohibitively expensive, and these days many English people are tunnelling into it.
You'll need a compass, a small wooden vaulting horse, and a false set of papers. Safer to keep off the main roads, avoid the larger towns, travel by night, and head for Switzerland. Incidentally, while you're in Switzerland, see if you can save up and buy some of their expensive money. If you're thinking of a holiday nearer home, don't be put off by the superficial rudeness of the Scots. Underneath it all, they can be really quite unpleasant. Oh, and do remember, you won't get a meal in a Scottish hotel before leaving. Caravan holidays are becoming more and more popular, but they can be expensive, and the cheapest and simplest method is to go down to your local caravan showrooms and spend a fortnight there. But by far and away the nicest place to go for a holiday is Cliff Michelmore's. He's a smashing bloke, and I bet he's a wonderful host. Plenty of evenings dining out under the stars at his place, I'll bet. No stinking it out in a sweaty basement flat in Earl's Court writing cheapskate holiday programmes for him. If you're listening in, Cliff, my number's in the book, and I'd really love it, you know, love. I haven't had a holiday for ages, and I wouldn't get in the way. I'd help with the garden and go out when you wanted me to, and... still, perhaps that's enough of that. Next week, I'll be back at the same time, unless, of course, I've heard from Cliff, and I'm lucky enough to be staying at his place. I really hope so. I really, really do. Anyway, from me, hopefully Cliff, until next week, it's goodbye and bon vacances. Dear Cliff, I don't know whether you remember meeting me in the lift at the Beatles.
To some other 1983, and that's the way it turned out to be. Flow with a flow, let your waters wash down, take me from this glow to some other town. Flow with a flow, past the sugar tree, go let her go, go to the sea, flow to the sea. The river flows, it flows to the sea, wherever that river goes, that's where I want to be. Flow, your waters wash down, take me from this road to some other town.
Well, the time in Britain is 12 noon, and the time abroad is absolutely immaterial. It's time once again for Two-Way Lunatic's Favourites. Hello, Jean.
Hello, Danny.
How are things going?
Oh, fine, thanks.
How's the weather?
Not been too bad. Bit of the old rain, you know.
Yes, we've had some of that.
Is your granny better?
Yes, thanks. The doctor said it wasn't much.
Oh, good. Are we going to see you for dinner on Thursday?
Well, I'll call you later on that.
OK, try and come, because we've got the Mitchell-Mores coming. You know how Cliff likes a fight.
Look, I must ring off now, because I've got this programme to do.
OK, nice to hear from you.
You too. I'll speak to you soon.
OK. Call me on the Robin Day phone-in.
Will do. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Sorry about that. It's just that it is a lot cheaper to get one's personal chat over and done with on the radio. Well, the first loony request comes from a Mrs. Partridgehead of the Bin Wirral. She says she would like to hear any recording of a bicycle wheel being splashed with bits of hot fat. Well, Mrs. Partridgehead, we couldn't get Geraldo's version, but we do have this recording made live in the BBC canteen. Very good. Our next request comes from one of our oldest loonies, Brigadier Sir Alan Pussycat Bennettle. He's a fully retired idiot, and he writes in to say that tomorrow will be 10 days after the anniversary of the day he bought his wheelbarrow. And would we play a request for it? Well, quite frankly, Brigadier, no. We may be mad on this programme, but we're not completely daft. Lance Corporal Sapper of BFPOR2, BAOR19, writes in to ask us if we could possibly tell him where he lives, as he finds these army addresses confusing. Well, Lance Corporal Sapper, we've looked it up in the book, and apparently you're in Minden in Germany. Anyway, you've asked for a request for anyone in the camp, so here goes. Is there anyone in the camp in Minden in Germany? If so, please contact Lance Corporal Sapper, second tent along, just past the first empty tent, by the ruined naffy. A Sergeant Squitters has written in to say that he joined the army for the water skiing, and could we possibly hide him for a couple of months? Well, Sergeant, your request is a little unusual, and we couldn't find it on the BBC record shelf. However, we did find a very old copy of Neil Innes.
As much retaliation.
as a toy. How sweet to be an idiot. How sweet. I tiptoed down the street, smile at everyone I meet.
Thank you, Neil Innes. Get well soon. Well, now, three requests for the next record. A Mr. Heart Appliance of Hendon, Wales, writes in on behalf of his daughter Ribena, and he would like us to play for her a recording of Mr. Heath speaking. A Mrs. Macbeth writes in from the Castle, Scotland, to say that they've got a royal relative staying the weekend, and would we play for Duncan some horrific shrieks? And finally, a Mr. Subliminal Tendencies from GBH Gibraltar has written and asked us to play a bit of Tchaikovsky, because his ex-step-mother-in-law has had a new addition to the family, and they think they're related. So, for all three, here goes.
Our duty is to our fellow citizens. We have a right to work in our way, as long as we like our family, our people.
Thank you.
part of the Brighton Conservative Horror Conference Symphony by Tchaikovsky, assisted by Fat Reg from Pinner and also Elton John. Well, that appears to be the end of Radio 5 for another disastrous week. I can't think how they have the nerve to keep it on. Anyway, I'll leave you now in the very capable hands of somebody much nicer than Eric Idle, who apparently not only performed this rubbish, but also appears to have written it. Lynn Ashley was in it as well, and Clive Burrows, who was the producer, is now working in a furniture factory near Esher. So there's no point in writing to him and complaining. If I was you, I should write to this lovely person who's coming up next. Oh, I really think he's super. He's a really smashing DJ. His show's lovely, and you don't have messes like that going on. Anyway, good luck with the show, lover. I really hope it goes well. I shall be listening. That's all from us. Bye.
And thank you for those kisses on the bottom.